Hi, this is Walter Trout, and you're listening to The Raven and the Blues right here on REM-FM.
By Wilbert Harrison, years and years and years ago, performed by many over the years, but there's Canned Heat from the album from 6 years ago, Friends in the Can, and that's Let's Work Together, and opening up The Raven and the Blues on REM-FM, on Skybird Radio, and as an MP3 file wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the show. That was kind of planned in a way, because we have a live guest this week. His name is Walter Trout. He worked with Canned Heat way back in the past, and so when I was putting the show together, I thought, yeah, let's start with that, shall we? And let's follow then with something, a person who influenced Walter so much in those very early days. When Walter was growing up in the States back in the late 60s, this is one man he heard playing, and that decided him he wanted to play blues thereafter. That man is Michael Bloomfield.
Don't get yourself a mama lion, she's much too mean, much too mean. And don't get yourself no treetop tall thinking woman. Yes, cause a treetop tall thinking woman, she's lean and mean. She roared.
come out a body yourself no mama line, 'cause a mama line, she's much to me, oh Lord, much to me. Much to me, much to me, much to me.
An album which was a labour of love in many respects came out 32 years ago in 1976. It's called If You Love These Blues, Play Them As You Please. Michael Bloomfield there on guitar, part of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, which is where Walter Trout heard him play for the first time, but also with Dylan, Electric Flag, Al Cooper, and so on. Really, in some respects, it sounds a bit trite in a way, but Michael Bloomfield is kind of the Eric Clapton, if you like, of the American white blues scene. Okay, so far so good. It's The Raven and the Blues. We have a live guest coming up this week. His name is Walter Trout. Looking forward to that enormously. And he'll be coming up very, very soon after we have something from Dr. John, taken from the album The City That Care Forgot, came out this year. This is called Black Gold. Thank you. The album is called The City That... The City That Care Forgot came out earlier on this year. All the proceeds, I think, are going to the people who were suffered from Hurricane Katrina and then, of course, recently Ike. Dr. John and the Lower 9/11 and a track with some very pertinent words called Black Gold.
Four and 20 years ago, coming to this life, son of a woman and a man who lived in strife. He was tired of being poor. He wasn't into selling door to door. He worked like the devil to be more. Different kind of poverty now upsets me so. Night after sleepless night, I walk the floor. I wanna know, why am I so alone? Where is my woman? Can I bring her home? Have I driven her away? Where has she gone? Morning comes the sunrise, I'm driven to my bed. I see that it is empty, I got devils in my head. I embrace the many colored beast. I grow weary of the torment, can there be no peace? And I find myself just wishing that my life would simply cease.
Now there's a rare treat. Stephen Stills' 4 and 20, sung by our next guest on The Raven and the Blues. And I would think many people would be surprised to hear Walter Trout singing that track. A man really who's played with the greats and known for his electric guitar work, Canned Heat and of course John Mayall, and many years as a great solo performer. Walter, welcome to The Raven and the Blues.
It's good to be here, Dave. Thanks.
You're about to start a fairly intensive tour of the UK and then a short break and then into Europe for a long, long time.
Yeah. Normally at the end of the year, I do like a 9-week tour, October and November into December. And this year I'm just breaking it up into two bits, and I'm going home in the middle to vote.
Right.
Was actually,
that makes sense.
And I did that the last time. I did that 4 years ago, and that didn't turn out so well, so we have higher hopes for this year.
The album has been out, four months now, I guess, roughly, here in UK.
Is it that long?
I think so, yes. I think it was May of this year, I think it came out, and then June in the States, I guess.
Yeah.
All the tracks self-penned as well. And,
yeah, all of them except for the title track, which I wrote with my bass player.
Yeah. And an album which was came together easily or was a labor of love, if you know what I mean?
You know, the way I tend to do these things is the record company schedules studio time, and I say, fine, that's good for me. And about 3 weeks before it's time to go in the studio, I'm sitting watching the news or something, and my wife says, hey, Walter, you're in the studio in 3 weeks. And I go, yeah, what about it? And she goes, well, what are you going to record? And all of a sudden, I realize I have to write a CD.
Yes.
And at that point, she and I say goodbye, because she knows I'm going to mentally go somewhere else, and I basically just sit in my house and write songs for 3 weeks, and I've done pretty much every CD that way, and this was CD number 16,
yes.
So I work good under pressure like that. I'm not a guy who just, you know, gets up in the morning and writes a couple of songs every day. It's something I have to sort of be... have, you know, the whip on my back. It's time to write. And then it actually comes easy. It comes pretty easy. On this one, for instance, about the third day of trying to write it, I did, I think, four songs in one day.
That's amazing. So. Yeah. And does the inspiration come from earlier on, or did they come clean to you when you're writing them, if you know what I mean?
You know, I don't really have any specific technique on this one. I had a stack of basically poetry that I had written while on tour, sitting in the back of the bus, you know, sitting back there looking out the window, contemplating things and writing thoughts and feelings about things. And I just basically took that stack of pseudo poetry or whatever and put it to music. And sat in my living room, believe it or not, with an acoustic guitar. This whole album was written on an acoustic guitar, and just put the stuff to music.
And then when you got to the studio with the band, did those songs change the way that you'd written them? And if you know what I mean, as the band came in and started as a group, you started doing it.
They changed a lot, actually, and a lot of that had to do with my producer, John Porter. For instance, I had a song called Child of Another Day, which is basically about people who live in the past and who spend their whole lives looking back at, you know, like their high school years or their young years, and they forget that they're alive now and that there is tomorrow for them, and they're just caught up in what used to be. And I had written a song on an acoustic guitar, and I played it for John Porter, and I said, now we need to do this really like quiet, mellow jazz with an acoustic guitar, and we need the drummer using brushes. And like I said, I have like Sting in mind for this. This should be like a Sting thing. And he listened to it, and he said, there's no way, this song has to be full-blown rock and roll. And it came out, it's one of the best tracks on the CD, but it's full-blown, balls-out, rockin' band, you know. So he was completely right on that, you know. And
had you worked with John before?
You know, I've known John for years, but we had never worked together. I made a record in a studio that he ran in L.A. some years ago, and I used to play at a little bar in California 25 years ago, and he used to come down there and listen to me play, and we've been friends all this time, but this was a first, and it was great working with him.
So John said to you, I'd love to produce an album, or you went to John and said, John, I would love to have you produce. Which way?
I was in the middle of writing this thing, and we're with a new label, and I was talking to my wife, who also manages my career, and I was like, you know, we're with a new label, and I'm writing some tunes here, and this is almost a new start here in my old age. And why don't we try something different? Like, I had produced Full Circle, and I intended on producing this one. And I said, why don't we call in a producer and see what happens? And I had made 6 albums with Jim Gaines in Memphis, and he's a great producer. You know, he's one of the best there is. But we discussed it, and after making 6 records with the guy, it was like, if we're doing something new, let's try something different. And I said, I got an idea. Porter. I mean, I know him. We've hung out together. We've never worked together, and he's produced all my friends. you know, so I gave him a call. And it's funny, a couple people said to me, if John Porter, you have to call him a year in advance. You know, he's booked. You need to give him a year notice. And I called him and said, John, I'm going to do a new CD. Would you like to work on it with me? And he said, I'd love to. And he said, when is it? And I said, well, it's in 2 weeks. And he immediately said, I have a project scheduled. I'll call up and cancel it. And so 2 weeks later, there we were in the studio, you know. It was great.
We've mentioned the album a lot. You've mentioned John. Shall we have something from the album now? Oh, actually, I'm prejudging.
I was actually not going to do something from the album. I have the guitar and a tuning here to try an old song of mine as sort of an acoustic blues and see how it works. See what happens.
This town is like a jungle, as somebody rightly said. A friend of mine was walking home, somebody killed her dead. She was cut down by a junkie who would not go to bed. That's life in the jungle. Somebody got a knife. You better get yourself a gun. The junkie on the corner, he ain't having any fun. Well, he might decide to kill. That's life in the jungle. Calling every time the sun goes down. When nighttime starts falling, I want to walk the streets of town. Nighttime is calling me to go out and hear the sound. Life in the jungle. Just the other night, I was walking all alone. But suddenly I found myself. I was standing right next to my dead friend's home. Somewhere in the darkness, I could hear. Jungle moan, you in the jungle.
That goes back away, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that 15 was 15 years or thereabouts.
20 years. John Mayall recorded that in '88.
Yeah, that's when you were with John Mayall at the time.
Yeah, and that actually, there was a good friend of mine who came to hear my band playing in my local bar in Huntington Beach, and she was walking home after the gig and. Somebody murdered her, and I got exceedingly upset, and I wrote that song about that kind of as therapy, and I played it for John one night in a hotel room, and he decided he wanted to record it. And the fact that, you know, the icon, John Mayall, wanted to record one of my tunes, I kind of thought, well, I'll keep writing tunes. And then I thought, well, maybe, and I'll start my own band. So,
that's a
funny
thing.
Kind of way that song set me on the path
started
to quitting his band and going solo.
And it's a track which, it's a number which actually became part of a stage show, and it's been recorded many times, hasn't it, really? Because I've heard that in two or three different incarnations, if you like, on different recordings. Yeah.
The thing that I really like about John, other than the fact that he's sort of a surrogate dad, is he has continued over the years to record tunes. Mm. And I think he's done three or four of my songs now. And so kind of flattering to me to have somebody like that do my tunes, you know.
That was, how can we describe it? That was the old Walter, really, because there's a point in time that comes where you become the new Walter, the clean Walter in a way, isn't there? And do you find there's a difference in between you then and you now, apart from just the age thing?
You mean the clean Walter, the drugs and the alcohol thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I certainly feel like, you know, a very different person. Mm-hmm. I just recently hit 21 years without any drugs or booze, and I don't even like to take an aspirin if I can help it. I certainly think it has given my playing, at least electrically, a bit more of an edge to it. Mm. And the records that I played on back in my drinking days, I have a hard time listening to.
Do you?
Yeah, because I can hear that edge is not there. That intensity is dulled.
Yes.
And I hear it. And I hear in my own playing on those records somebody sort of struggling.
Playing to their peak, really.
Not playing to their peak, and also I hear somebody who's kind of, how can I put this, struggling to get to a different place in his life and very unhappy with things. And it's kind of painful for me to listen to the old Walter, you know.
It was Carlos Santana who started you off on the new route to recovery, wasn't it, in a way?
Well, he was a catalyst, but, you know, before him there was John Mayall, who, when I first toured with John, and I was in Canned Heat, and we toured as his band in 81, John and I were drinking buddies. Mm. You know, we sat in the back of the van together and just drank Pernod and wine, and he used to have a bottle where he would take the unfinished bottles of wine in the dressing room and he would mix them together. And he had it labeled Chateau Hibiscus, that he had written this label. And we would sit in the back and drink that together. And Chateau we were Hibiscus. Just fried all day. Mm. And we bonded over booze on the first tour. Mm. And then he got sober. And so he was a cheerleader for me, following in his footsteps. But he didn't fire me in my insane days. Mm-hmm. He stuck with me, which I feel indebted to him for. Mm. And then there was Richie Hayward, who's the drummer from Little Feat, who had, you know, had played in that little bar with me whenever I was at home. Off the road, I had my own band, and I played in a little bar at the beach. And Richie played there for 2 years with me, and he had gotten clean and sober, and he was a cheerleader, too. Mm. And we would talk about it, but I never made the move, although I knew I needed to. But when Carlos turned up, I think the timing was right, and the way he approached it was right, and he managed to put me over the top, and with his little 3-day intervention that he did on me, you know. Mm-hmm.
And that was 21 years ago.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's have something else off the album, or are we going to go back in the past again?
Sure, I'm going to retune.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He got one thing on his mind.
fortune and fame. He's a new gunslinging town. He's shooting all the old boys down. He's waiting in the street. Quick draw on each gunslinger he meets. He's looking for blood, leaving bodies in the mud. Go see the next big thing. I swear you can't go wrong. He's coming to your town. He's always ready with a song. He's gonna be the next big thing. Big thing comes along. He's gonna be the next big thing until the next big thing comes along. Until it comes along. Long, long.
Wonderful stuff. Walter Trout playing live here on the studio on the Thames. And, of course, as always, if you want to hear the whole session, the complete 1 hour is up on the net, and you'll find that at www.raven.dj/R&B. Look for Walter's photograph and click on the name underneath, and then you can hear the bit you've just heard, plus a lot more besides, and two more tracks too. Walter Trout, our guest this week, and our next guest, looking forward to that in about 2 weeks' time, scheduled is Guy Totora. This is The Raven and the Blues, and now here's two tracks side by side, both of them with The Connection, and we start with The Blues Band, going back to their album from, many years ago, called Back for More. This is a track called The Great Crash, pretty apposite for this day and age.
Every heart unsent that you to know you when your paper money turns to ash.
On piano, Mickey Sanchez and the rest of the blues band, taken from their album Back for More, and that is called The Great Crash. It sounded in my headphones. I have my headphones at what's called Tommy Vance level. Now, if you're a Brit, you'll probably know who I mean, the late Tommy Vance. If you're not, there's a good chance you've got no idea. Tommy Vance was a great, great DJ of the old school, been around for many years. He was mainly a rock DJ, and he used to work for many, many years with BFBS Radio, and he had, the same as me, we were kind of deaf, I suppose. We loved our headphones loud, and it was like 11 on the gauge, really. And when he went in a studio, if Tommy Vance had been in before you, the first thing he did, even me, was turn the volume of the headphones down a bit, because otherwise you were deafened. And it's always been known, I suppose, to many of us in the trade now, as the Tommy Vance level headphones. And when Walter was here earlier on, I said, "Are these okay for you?" He went, "No, man, turn them down." And I had the headphones for that pretty loud, and I could hear some kind of distortion, whether it's actually on the control room here or going onto the tape, I've got no idea, but hopefully that was okay for you. Now the connection on harmonica there, Paul Jones, and now on vocals, Paul Long, as we move to a band we featured before about a year and a half ago. They're from the south coast of England, the deep south. They're called the Riotous Brothers, and they've got a new EP out, and here they are with I've Had My Fill. And the connection is both Pauls work together, Paul Jones and Paul Long.
Rich, having six-figure fun. He made wealth cause I'm a Kennedy son. Dropped off Porsche out of sight of my door. Fabulous girls, I'm gonna get me some more. And that's why I'm gonna have my fill. See, I got a lover with a healthy appetite for the things. jet set, and that's why.
You can buy that according to their website and their MySpace page. It is available from various websites. It's their new EP, three tracks on it, and that's the band called the Riotous Brothers. That's Paul Long on guitars and vocals, and Mash Sonnet, Martin Ayling, and Dirk Maggs. And collectively, that's their new album, or their new EP anyway. Great tracks, or three good tracks too, and excellent stuff. And the connection is put that Paul Long is a producer with the BBC. He's been there for quite some years. He produces Paul Jones, the lead singer of the blues band, and, well, the one of the singers of the blues band, harp player of the blues band, of course, actor as well. And Paul came to the Houseboat about 6 months ago when Boo Boo Davis was here. And anyway, that's the connection. Okay, to Texas now, and a girl who settles or has settled in Austin, Texas. Her name is Ruthie Foster. She has a new album out called The Phenomenal, and there's some great tracks on it, many written by her and others written by people she admires and aspires to. Here's a great number we've played before by the guy who wrote it, Eric Bibb, and here's Ruthie Foster with A Friend Like You.
When I need someone to tell my troubles to, you're the first one who comes to my mind. When there's nowhere to run, you're the one I turn to. Lord knows a friend like you is hard to find. A friend like you, everyone should have. Like you, we all need. All I wanna do is be a friend to you the way you are a friend to me. When I'm lost out in the dark, you're the bright light shining through. Thank you. my soul. Every time I think of you, sweet music is the gift you bring. Thank you for the songs soaring in my heart. Your love makes me sing. Like you, we all need. All I wanna do is be a friend to you the way you are a friend to me. I wanna be a friend like you.
Great, great album. It's called The Phenomenal, and she is. That's Ruthie Foster and the Eric Bibb original, and With a Friend Like You. And I was fiddling with the not the controls, but the plugs and sockets on that, and I'm afraid it looks like CD turntable number one is kaput, which means we'll have to rethink the rest of the programme. How long have we got left? 10 minutes. Okay. Let's go back to the computer, which never lets me down. Tra-la. Let's have Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. And from the album which came out way back in 1958, called Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry Sing the Blues, here they are with Better Day.
Went up on the mountain, looked down in the sea. Thinking about the woman, the one we couldn't agree. But that's all right, I don't worry. Cause that will be a better day. Oh, look here, people, I need a break. Good thing will come to those that wait. But that's all right, and I don't worry, cause that will be a better day. Yes, it will, Brownie. That's all right, and I don't worry, cause that will be a better day. My burden so heavy, I don't care to see. Will Mother Pepper down on me? But that's all right, and I don't worry. Oh, that will be a better day.
Lovely stuff. Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. The album is actually called Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry Sing the Blues. I suppose it always... I don't know why it was always Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. I mean, it's not alphabetical, is it, necessarily? odd. Never mind. And that is a track called Better Day. Great stuff. Well, so let's stay on the computer playing tracks, which we I get from eMusic. If you haven't joined eMusic, it really is great for blues. It's not so good for mainstream pop music because the major labels aren't there, but it's all the independents, both blues and rock and things, are all there. I was going to say millions, but many thousands of tracks. And here in UK, it's $10.99 a month for 40 tracks. No DRM, really good stuff. I should have really set up a link so that if you go there and join, I get something out of it, but I haven't. I really should start doing that. Anyway, from eMusic, the album Rough Diamond came out last year. Here's Dave Hull with a track called Can't Stop Loving You.
Can't stop loving you. I can't stop loving you.
Dave Hole with a track called Can't Stop Loving You, and that's almost it for The Raven and the Blues. Hope you've enjoyed the music on the program this week and can join me for something similar in a week's time. If you'd like to drop me a line, it's quite simple. It's dave@raven.dj, and the website address is raven.dj/R&B. There may be a chance that after 6 months of being on REM FM, there may be something on the website with a link. Don't hold your breath. I've been saying that for about 3 months. No, I've been saying it for about 6 months, really, haven't I? But moves are afoot to try and update the website to give the impression that I'm actually on their radio network, which would be nice. Anyway, let's close with a bit of geography. When Doug McLeod was here, he sang a track called Plaquemine, which is a town just north of New Orleans on the way towards Baton Rouge. If you move to the east of that town, you get to a large lake, Lake Pontchartrain, that's right. And across that lake, there is an expressway, a bridge, right across the middle of the lake, going from Abita Springs in the north to New Orleans in the south. Abita Springs is the home of Bobby Lounge. We featured him quite a few times on the show. Over-the-top piano player arrives on stage in an iron lung. And his producer is John Preble. And John Preble has put together an album called The New Mardi Gras Classics. 16 hits, it says. It's 16 great tracks, mostly performed by a band called the New Abitians, obviously based in Abita Springs. It's great stuff. And let's close the show with the first track on the album called Cuckoo Labal. Obviously, we'll be playing more from that in the weeks to come. Wherever you're listening across the world, I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Thanks for the donations. John, you're a star in Dubai. You're extremely kind. We'll dedicate this one to you. Cuckoo Labal, I'll talk to you next week. From me, Dave Raven, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Saturday night, it's Mardi Gras, here's what's going on. Go to Mid-City, we meet our friends for a demi-on. It's Sunday night, it's Mardi Gras, we got it made. I got letters on St. Charles for the box parade. Monday night, it's Mardi Gras, here's what we do. Orpheus on Napoleon, yeah, that's my crew. Tuesday morning, I'm feeling beat, but it's Mardi Gras. It's Wednesday morning, it's all over, but just one thing. Go to church.